Well, good morning again. So glad that you're here. This morning, we are continuing to walk through our Jesus is Better sermon series. And it's a study through the book of Hebrews. And by way of reminder, this is what we've looked at since we started this series. We've looked at how Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is a better anchor. Jesus is a better liberator. Jesus is better than Moses. And last week, we looked at how Jesus is better than the fleeting pleasures of sin. And now this morning, we're going to look at how Jesus is a better rest. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like a good nap? How many of you like a good night's sleep? How about after a hard day's work, you like to go home and just kind of put your feet up and rest? All of us like those things, right? Well, this morning we're talking about the importance of rest. David Dyke shared this illustration. He said, a man died and left all he had to his wife. Man, she loved her husband so much that money, she spared no expenses when it came to his headstone. So she spends a lot of money on a nice, pretty headstone, and she put across the front of it, rest in peace. Well, a few days after she had made all of these arrangements for that headstone, she began to dive through their books and realized that he had actually left them deep in debt. And so that kind of infuriated her a little bit. And so she scrounged up as much money as she could find. And she added to that tombstone. And after the reading, rest in peace, the words, till I come, were etched in that headstone. You know, the good news is you don't have to wait for a cemetery to find rest, do you? You can find rest this morning in Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter the rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. Father, just asking that you this morning will allow your word to come alive to us. Father, I pray that every word within your holy word will penetrate deep into us. And Father, may it reveal to us how we need to live our lives and what changes we need to make. Father, I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that if there is someone in this place that is yet to receive you as their Lord and Savior, that this morning they'll make the greatest decision that they could ever make. And that is to repent of their sins and cry out to you to be Lord and Savior of their lives. Father, move now through the reading and preaching of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So picking up where we left off last week, notice our first point. It is this: fear the consequences of unbelief. In verse 1 again, we read, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. If you recall from our study last week, chapter 3 concluded with a warning that it was unbelief that kept the Israelites from entering into the promised land. For 40 years, the people of God experienced the consequences of their unbelief, didn't they? An entire generation of people would die off, never experiencing the promise of God found in the promised land. Remember, that land was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. What they missed by not entering was promised rest. Rest from the oppressive bullying of the Egyptians, where they had spent the last 400 years. There are two kinds of rest that we're going to talk about this morning. There is a Sabbath rest, which all of us need, right? And then there is spiritual rest that can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Israelites were promised a physical rest within a physical land in a geographical location just beyond the Jordan River. But they failed to claim that rest. An entire generation did. The Lord told Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, "You shall not do according to all that we are doing here today. Everyone doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For you have not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance that the Lord your God has given you. But when you go over the Jordan and live in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you live in safety." It was a physical rest that they were to grab hold of. But because of their unbelief, they did not experience it. They experienced unrest instead. So what must we do? We must avoid unbelief. We read in the latter part of verse 1, "Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." You know, this passage is saying that we should not act like the Israelites of old did. We should not get to the gates of the promised land and not claim the promises that God has for us. Within some of your translations, instead of the words "failed to reach it," yours might say "come up short." For the Israelites, we know that they stopped on the banks of the Jordan River. I mean, they were right there. They could see the land flowing with milk and honey. But what they did when they came to the banks of that Jordan River is they literally told God no, didn't they? There is a real danger when we tell God no. The reality is there are many people that have come just short of inheriting God's promises. Many have even come up short of eternal life without fully realizing it. That is a sad truth, but they based their salvation upon their accomplishments in the flesh and instead upon Christ's accomplishments on the cross. If a person stands before Jesus one day and tells Jesus, "Hey, I did everything right, but I missed it by just this much." If they stand before Jesus one day and they try to argue with the God of the universe and say, "I attended church every Sunday. I tithed every Sunday. I was a community leader. I gave up my time. I worked at the homeless shelter. I worked at the food bank. I was the PTA president. I was a troop leader. I helped all the widows in my church that needed help." Jesus is going to tell people like that, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." The problem with such statements is we do not gain access into heaven based on what we did. We gain access into heaven based upon what Jesus did for us. It's not by works that we are saved. It's by grace through faith. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus spoke these words, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" The promised land was theirs for the taking, but because of their fear, they would come up just short of it. Their unbelief would keep them from inheriting the land of promise. So what do we need to do? We need to accept the good news. For in verse 2 we read, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." The Israelites, they heard the good news, didn't they? They heard it time and time again. They knew that if they would step out in faith, then God would give them the land of promise. For the vast majority, the message received did not benefit them because they were not in agreement with those who heard it in faith. Remember, when the Israelites came to the banks of the Jordan River, they sent 12 people, Moses sent 12 people into the land of promise. For 40 days, they went from every corner of the promised land, they checked it out, and they came back and they reported to Moses and Aaron and the rest of the tribes that the land indeed, they were all in agreement here. The land indeed is a land flowing with milk and honey. In fact, they brought back fruits to show them. This is what we found in the land. Well, the problem is they were in agreement with, it was a land flowing with milk and honey, but where they were in disagreement was 10 of the spies, what did they say? The giants in the land are too great for us. There were only two men, Joshua and Caleb, that said, the Lord has already given us this land. We need to go over and conquer it. You see, here's what just blows my mind with this passage and so many other passages, is even in life in general. The same two people can hear the exact same message. One choose in faith to believe, and another choose to reject and disbelieve. Every single day that happens, doesn't it? Every single day when we encounter a lost person and share the good news of salvation with them, some are going to receive, others are not going to receive. Some are going to believe in faith, and others are going to reject the God of the universe. Because of the 10 men's report, and because the majority of the people believed the 10 instead of believing God, only Joshua and Caleb would be permitted into the promised land. An entire generation of people, 20 and up, would die in the wilderness. I love what Tony Evans shared in his commentary. He said, unbelief for the believer is a refusal to act like God is telling the truth. Let me read that again. Unbelief for the believer is a refusal to act like God is telling the truth. Do you believe God? Do you believe that God is a God of His Word? Do you believe that if God said it, then He is going to do it? Do you believe that if God commands it, that you and I should obey it? Remember what James said in James 1:22? He said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to do it. An entire generation of people heard it, but they didn't do it. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that heard it and acted upon it, and they were able to inherit the promised land. Notice our next point. It's recipients of God's rest. In verse 3, we read, for we who have believed enter the rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The Israelites of old did not enter into the rest that God had promised them. They would live out the rest of their lives restless in the wilderness. You and I have a choice. We can live our lives restfully in the arms of Jesus, or we can live our lives as restless individuals, as Satan's pawns, basically. I'll tell you right now, you will never experience God's promised rest if you live your life independent of God. Know this, belief means eternal life. Those who have believed are those who have been saved by grace through faith. We read in Hebrews 4:3a, for we who have believed enter the rest. I want you to know this morning, I think all of us know this, but as a Christian, the rest we enter does not mean an easy life, does it? I think so many people in the Western world believe that at the moment of their salvation, at the moment they come to faith in Jesus, it means that all of their problems will go away. They believe that being a Christian, because of maybe what they've heard on television or what they've seen or heard a preacher preach, they believe that wealth might await them, or easy living awaits them, great jobs await them, maybe even a sinless life is before them, or that they'll receive their happily ever after. You and I are never guaranteed any of that. In fact, if anything, we are told by Christ that we will experience persecution as believers, right? We're not guaranteed an easy life. We are guaranteed, though, as believers, a restful life in Christ, a life of knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. That's about the most restful words that we could ever hear, knowing that when we take our final breath on this side of eternity as Christians, we shall dwell with the Lord forever in heaven. Notice next, rejecting means condemnation. We read, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." An entire generation chose not to believe that God was capable of giving them the land of promise. So for 40 years, one after another died a physical death inside the wilderness. There are real consequences for all who choose not to come to faith in Jesus. We all know people today that are on a collision course with hell, don't we? Co-workers, classmates, family members, there are consequences if they do not one day choose to believe in Jesus. The Israelites were promised a physical parcel of land. Everyone in this room has been promised so much more than a physical parcel of land. At the moment of our salvation, what we received was the promise of eternal life. What Jesus said, today I'm going to prepare a place for you. What we have been promised is heaven. That's good news, my friends. Heaven is the reward for those who place their faith and trust in Jesus. When I was 11 years old on Easter Sunday, I repented of my sins and I gave my life over to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not perfect. There has not been a day in my life where I have lived it sinless. I make mistakes every single day. But you know what? I've been saved by God's glorious grace. Have you received the free gift of salvation? What we see next in the remainder part of our message is examples given by the writer of Old Testament scripture that speak of salvific rest. The first thing, our third point is this, imagery of God's rest. You know, God modeled for us the importance of Sabbath rest, didn't he? We see that in the example provided here by the writer of Hebrews. We see an example of rest. We read in verses latter part of 3 and 4, "Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his work." Here the author is quoting from Psalm 95 again, and he is also quoting from Genesis chapter 2. For the Jewish people, the Sabbath was one of the most important days. They worked hard for 6 days in order to rest on the seventh day. It was a day for worship and family and spiritual renewal. It was not a day of work. And the writer provides God as an example for Sabbath rest, doesn't he? God spoke all things into existence over a 6-day period. And then we're told in scripture that God rested on the seventh day. Does that mean that God got tired speaking all things into existence? Absolutely not. For God to get tired would mean that he wasn't God, right? What God did for us is he modeled for us the importance of taking a day and resting. Resting from our physical labor in order to be renewed spiritually. There is a need for physical rest. You know, I love this little slide. I came across that yesterday. Jesus took naps. Be like Jesus. I mean, that's some good words right there. You know, we need to rest physically in order to be re-energized. You know, let me ask you a question. Have you ever got to the point in your life where your cup has just gotten empty? You know, in the 23rd Psalm, David wrote these words, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." So have you ever gotten to that point in your life where man, you have given and given. You have given of yourself at church. You have given of yourself at home. You've given of yourself at work and maybe volunteering. And man, you get to the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the month, maybe even the end of a year. And you just realize, man, that you've given everything and there's nothing left to give. You ever been there? I think all of us have been there, right? Well, how do we go from here to the point where David says, my cup overflows? You know how we get from empty to full again? We consider Jesus, as we've looked at the past couple of weeks. We pursue after Jesus. We spend time with Jesus. We spend time studying his word. We spend time praying. We spend time just physically resting and renewing. You know, all throughout scripture, we see that Jesus took time and he got away and he rested. He napped for his physical body's sake. And he also rested in the arms of his Father and spent time praying to the Father. And here's what happens. The more we pray and the more we read, the more we memorize scripture, the more we reflect upon the Lord Jesus Christ, eventually what's going to happen is our cup is going to overflow. And you know what happens when a cup overfloweth? Those around us are impacted by us. Isn't that good? I think all of us have been there where people will just look at us and they'll say, man, there's something different about you today. What is it? And man, you can just go on and begin sharing about all the goodness of God in your life. Well, here's the problem though. Sometimes we share, and not refill, and we get to that point where people aren't coming to us anymore and asking us, man, where's that joy? We need to be people of joy. There is a physical rest and a spiritual rest that is needed. The next example that we see here is a promised rest. In verses 5 and 6, we read again in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. The author, again, is speaking of the Israelites within this section of Scripture. If they would have claimed the promised land, not only would they have inherited a land flowing with milk and honey, but they also would have found the much needed rest that they needed in God, and as well as the rest they needed from their enemies. But because of their unbelief and disobedience, an entire generation of people would die off. The author continues and shows us that even the Israelites that would enter into the promised land 40 years later, they still did not fully receive the rest. They received a better rest, which our point, it makes up our third subpoint, but they did not yet receive the best rest. In verses 7 through 8, we read, again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. After 40 years, the people of Israel were finally led into the land of promise. What a glorious day that must have been. We read of that day. You know, the Jordan River, man, it parted like the Red Sea, and the people walked across it on dry land. They came in and they inherited the land. The people had finally become recipients of the promised land. Well, here is what we know. The land would just be a temporary dwelling place for them, wouldn't it? Because there was going to come a day when every single one of them would close their eyes for the final time on this side of eternity. And that is going to happen to all of us as well. One day, every single one of us in this room are going to close our eyes on this side of eternity for the final time. Here's what we know. The Israelites experienced a better rest, but it certainly was not the best rest, because the best rest can only be found in the person of Jesus. So we go on here and we read, just like last week, the author quotes from Psalm 95. Okay, and he quotes from verses 7 and 8. And we read the words that today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That word today is really, really good news, isn't it? Every generation of people that has ever lived or will ever live will have their today, a day given to them to enter into God's rest, an opportunity to respond to the Lord for salvation. It does not matter who that person is or what generation they are born into, they will be given their today, a day to receive the rest that comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I went on a mission trip to China, to a very, very remote village at the foothills of the Himalayan mountains. While here in the States, I was introduced to a missionary that had invited me and a few other people to go to engage an unreached people group with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before we went, I was shown a video of a young lady from this unreached people group that had come to faith in Jesus. She shared her testimony, and she spoke of how she left her remote village, and she went to one of the larger cities. I don't remember what city it was. And when she came to that city, she came to find work, to support her mom and dad and her siblings, as well as her grandparents and other people within this village if she was able to. And when she came to this city, not long afterwards, she wanted to learn English. And so she found an English-speaking school that she could be a part of after work. And there she met this missionary. And not only did she meet this missionary, but she came to faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the missionary that invited us over to China. Well, on several mornings while we were there before doing ministry, we met in this second floor room, and we dubbed this room the upper room. And it was in that room that we would pray together as a team, and we would spend time in God's Word together. And one of those mornings, we were praying together. And this young lady from this unreached people group, she just began to bawl as she prayed. And I will never forget that prayer. Tears were flowing down her face, and she prayed that before she knew of the name Jesus, before she knew that there was a God that created all things into existence, she said, "I knew you existed." She went on to say, to pray that she could see the mountains declare the glory of the Lord and the stars declare the glory of the Lord. And you know, I've been in prayer meetings before where somebody will just go on and on and on and pray. Have you ever been there before? Well, this lady, as she prayed, man, I was in agreement with her. But the thing about her that just absolutely struck me was how she had her today in this remote village in at the foothills of the Himalayas. Before she ever heard the name Jesus, she knew that Jesus existed. Before she ever heard the name God, she knew that God existed, because she saw the effects of God's speaking all things into existence all around her. She was given her today. And later on, a few years later, she would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the most remote parts of this world, like this young lady, people have their today, their day that they choose to believe in Jesus or not believe in Jesus. This is something that has reaching all the way into generations past. People have been given their today, and reaching into the future, people will be given their today. There is a better rest to come, and it is indeed a rewarding rest. This young lady experienced that rewarding rest, and I pray all of us in this room have experienced that same rewarding rest. We read in verses 9 through 10, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." When you and I entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when we repented of our sins, and when we declared Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our lives, at that moment we were gifted with the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, we entered into God's rest. Remember, that does not mean that we will have rest from our labors. Okay, that doesn't mean that we're going to be guaranteed an easy life. Some of you in this room, man, you work 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. Some of you are retired and you worked real hard to get to the moment of retirement, right? Again, entering God's rest does not mean we will be guaranteed an easy life, because we will not. So often, I say if we live long enough, we're going to experience the storms of life. And all of us in this room have experienced the storms of life, haven't we? Some of those storms are just little sprinkles. Some of those storms have a little thunder embedded in them. Some of them are full of lightning. Some of them are tornadic. And some of them, man, they're Cat 5 hurricanes, aren't they? Well, here's the deal. When you and I go through storms as believers in Jesus Christ, guess what? Jesus is in the boat with us. That is a guarantee that we have. But think about so many people outside the doors of this church this morning that are going through the storms of life right now, and Jesus isn't in their boat because they have yet to enter into an eternal relationship with Jesus. That's where we come in. That's where we go to them to help them have their today moment. You and I can find rest in Jesus. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you don't know Jesus this morning, come to him and find rest. Know that the opposite of rest is unrest. And we see that those that die without Christ will experience eternal unrest. We read in Revelation chapter 14, "And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest. Day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name." Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.'" Notice this. "Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." For those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they will find rest in Jesus. For us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we will find rest in him. So as our takeaway this morning, let me challenge you, obviously, to avoid unbelief. Man, avoid those moments in your life where you do not respond to the good news, where you get to the gates of the promised land, whatever the promise is that God has promised you of, and you say, "No, I can't do it. Giants in the land are too great." Avoid those moments. And remember that the storms of life will come, but it's better to face those storms with Jesus in the boat than he being absent from the boat. Come to Jesus and find rest this morning if you have not done that yet. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord Jesus, just thanking you, Lord, just for being the God of the universe. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for providing all of us in this room an opportunity to find much needed rest in you. Father, I know in this room this morning, Lord, that there is anxiousness that is present. There's probably some unrest that is present as well. Father, help all of us in this room turn to you, the source of our rest, to turn to you, Father, to help our empty cups be filled with the goodness of you. Father, help us be believers whose cups overflow so that those that we get in proximity with can have an encounter with you. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's someone here that does not have a relationship with you, that today will be the day of their salvation. I pray this morning, if there's someone here that is struggling, that today will be the day that they get their life right with you. I also pray this morning that if you're leading one or many in this room to make Friendship their church home, that today will be the day that they do that, Lord. Just move now during this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. And if there's a decision you need to make, you come. If you need to come trusting in Jesus for salvation, you come. If you need to come this morning, the Lord's leading you to make Friendship your church home, you come as well. You come this morning.